I want you to know that the older I get, my hands become weaker. Opening a jar can be a problem. Using pliers leads to unpleasant words. Just ask my wife. Even loading a dishwasher can be an issue. Duperton's disease has caused many, or I should say a lot, of Carrie's favorite mugs or other important memorabilia to slip through my grip and smash onto the counter or the floor. I thought I had it tightly in my hand, but lo and behold, it slipped through the fingers and my weak sauce clutch, only to meet it shattering on the floor or countertop. And I confess, I have tried sneakily to just throw them in the garbage so she wouldn't see. Tuck the shattered pieces in there, but she always remembers and finds out when she goes to look for that special thing. I think I should start putting them in my neighbor's garbage. We can all question God's hold on us, his grip. God doesn't have Drupetin's disease. He doesn't. We think this thing we do Sunday after Sunday is about us getting a better grip on God in Christ. And I never seen that, the old Bob Newhart show where he's counseling this woman and he just starts yelling at her to stop it, stop it. Well, I want you to know, stop thinking that. Stop thinking that. It's exactly the opposite. We've got it all backwards. Coming to worship is the exact opposite. It's about us confessing and submitting to God's grip on us. Do we truly believe that no one, no thing, no experience can pry us out of Jesus' hand? N.T. Wright was asked on a podcast recently if he could take one chapter of Scripture, if he was on a desert island, what would that chapter be? And he said, oh, Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do we believe that nothing can pry us out of God's grace grip? Do we believe the words of Jesus? No one will snatch my sheep out of my hand, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I want you to know, I think those are probably the most encouraging, comforting, and profound words Jesus ever spoke. I've asked Isla to help me this morning. Yes, right now, Isla. I have a $10 bill here. Right? Okay. You don't have to say a thing. If you can get it out of my hand, it's yours. Yes, really. Yeah, come on. And I have weak hands. Come on. What's wrong with you? Okay, here. This is grace right here. There you go. Thanks. Now, notice the image, though. I'm bigger. She's smaller. I thought about having Liam or Tucker come up and do it. That would even be more of a picture of us being held in God's hands or Jesus' hands, the omnipotent one's hands. We're just humans, and God is all-powerful. And we think we can have something or someone or even ourselves push us out of his hand? I think not. Psalm 23 is often overlooked. We prayed it this morning. It's overlooked in its deep theological content, just of the picture we get of God. That God is this male shepherd. And as a male shepherd, he protects and delivers quiet streams and green pastures. Jesus comes along, of course, and says, I am the shepherd. But God is also the host, preparing a table of food and wine with goblets overflowing with grace. God is a woman. who in that culture served and cooked and waited tables and poured the wine. God is imaged in the famous Psalm 23 as a male and as a female in those images. And the image we were created in Genesis, male and female, female and male. And God presents himself that way. The shepherd and host holds in his grace grip the image of God bearers. I often think of, when I think of image bearers, I think of Jesus being challenged, do you pay taxes? And he's given a coin, and he looks at the coin, and he says, whose image is on this? And of course, it's Caesar's. And he goes, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. Where is God's image stamped? On you, and on me, and on the people we run into. That is why I love this image of Jesus the shepherd that Carrie bought me a few years back. It's in my study. You know, because we get this picture of our Lord. He loves us. He loves to use is that he is the shepherd who goes out to look for the sheep that is lost. So long as we imagine that it is we who have to look, so long we keep on thinking we have to seek God, look for God. But it is the other way around. He's looking for us. He is the hound of heaven. And so we can afford to recognize that very often we are not looking for God. Far from it. Far from it. We are in full flight from him, in high rebellion against him. And he knows that and has taken it into account. He has followed us into the darkness. And there is where we finally can't escape him, and we run straight into his arms because he's there already. Jesus has hunted down one sheep in that image. Me, you, and he carries that sheep, carries me back to the fold. He carries you back to the fold safely. And I love in that picture his hands. They're grasping the legs of that sheep. It's going nowhere. The sheep is in his grace grip. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And did you hear that word? Never. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand because I and the Father were one. The Jesus hand clutches us, the Father's hand clutches us, and they're both on the same page. You see, these verses are about sola gratia, only grace, only grace. Your failure and mine this past week, do not take 20% of Christ and the Father's grace away from the equation. We failed, so God in Christ is only 80% willing to separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. Maybe you did this week what in your mind is an 80% failure. What I tell us is come to the table behind me this morning and let us together feed on Jesus who has us so tightly in his grace grip we will never wiggle out of it, no matter what our failure, sin, no matter what our depravity reveals. Christ has descended into our deepest darkness, our darkness that we don't even consciously understand or know. And he tells us that this morning that his sheep listened to his voice. So keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening to the voice this morning. That is key. Do we always respond to the voice of the shepherd? No. We all know the answer. That's why we need his staff to slap us on the rear and direct us in the right direction. We need his dog angels to nip at our heels and bark us back into the herd. We are the church of dumb sheep. Ask Leroy what he thinks of sheep. Maybe we should change our church name, Dumb Sheep Presbyterian Church. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave, the God I love. Do you see that is why worship every Sunday is really important? I don't come just because it's a job. I mean, I have that plaque I see every day in my study given by my Christian friend from Elmira. You are not God. This is not heaven. So don't be a Balaam's ass. It's by a Jesuit priest. And in our study with Jerry Sitzer, the groups that are doing that, he says clearly that we worship to remind ourselves that God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. That is why we gather. And our God has shown us who He is. He is the omnipotent grace gripper. You know, I love it when Dave Plagerman serves me communion in this church. If I had $1 million, I would bet anyone in this church, all of it, that Dave would serve me communion with Christ's words through tear-soaked eyes. It's beautiful. When Janice and he came to our church, they told us that this Eucharist thing every Sunday, they weren't sure about it. And now he'll have it no other way. No other way. When he serves me, he often looks at me and he pauses and he collects his emotions and his tears. And more often than not, his words to me are, Mark, his chin's quivering. Your only hope in a life and in death is that you belong body and soul to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And he shoves the bread into my hand. And he speaks the beauty of God's and Christ's grace grip into me. That's another way to say that we are in the grace grip of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We dip the bread in the wine and we are saying God's grace is incomprehensible and our only hope in life and in death. Our only hope is that no one, nothing can separate us or snatch us out of our Father's hand. When we reflect back to the shepherd's sheep prayer of Psalm 23, we find that we are protected. The rod and the staff are used to beat away wild animals and flying snakes 50 yards away. Flinging snakes 50 yards away. I say flinging because Carrie saw her first snake this year. She was out walking, or I don't know, were you driving? She was driving, and this huge fat crow swooped down and grabbed what she assumed to be this huge stick. She goes, what is that crow going to do with a stick? Well, it wasn't a stick. It was a large snake. The crow God took the snake away. The shepherd Christ feeds us, guides us to springs of water that are still so we can drink and bathe without worry of being swept away by turbulent waters or bitten by a snake. This is our crow shepherd God, Jesus, and He's holding us in His grace all the time. And do not think I'm overemphasizing the point. Am I neglecting what we need to do? You may say, but Mark, I screw up so much. Every day, I'm greedy, I lust, I'm arrogant, I hoard my wealth, I look at my neighbors and I think they're just jerks. I ripped my kids a lecture that should be a TED talk. Welcome to the church and the table of grace behind me. We're Presbyterian Church. The sign at our corner preaches it to the community. Our Redeemer Presbyterian. That means that we believe grace is primary. Never goes away. It's front, it's center. It means that life in our church, if it isn't messy, it's not gospel-centered. Grace will never be shoved to the margins because that would be nudging Jesus to the margins. Jesus must be sermon-centered, supplication-centered, scripture-centered, song-centered, sacrament-centered, silence-centered. I listened to a podcast this week out of Wheaton College. And it was on lament. It was on God lamenting and our lamenting, expressing the sorrow of our hearts and how we're really not good at that. You know, Beth said, you know, we're really not good at asking for help. We're not good at sorrow in the church. Our desire is for the church to be upbeat, positive. We struggle with struggle, and it makes us uncomfortable because any answer just is not a real answer. We give pat answers to complex struggles that make the sorrow give inappropriate gestures. I mean, sorrowful. It just doesn't work. What we all need to know and be affirmed in is the reality that the Father's and Jesus' grace grip, no matter our response to the tears wetting our cheeks or the flaming anger burning in our hearts, that God is with us eternally, 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 and He's going nowhere. We are always in His grace grip, no matter the hell we walk through on this earth. Jesus has us eternally in His grace grip. Let us all find comfort in the reality of this security. One person said this, and it's just never thought of it this way. John 10:30, right out of our text. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Is in the exact middle of John's 21 chapter gospel. It's about Jesus revealing the Father and the Father saying, if you want to know me, know Jesus and you know me. It sums that whole gospel up. Does one want to know the Father? Look at Jesus. Does one want to know the Father's will? Listen to Jesus. Does one want to know the Father's love? Look, watch where Jesus goes. Does one want to live? Walk with Jesus. We are given in this section two pictures of hands. I want to give those two in closing and one other. Jesus has strong hands that hold us in verse 28. No one can pluck us out of Jesus' hands. In verse 29, it tells us that God's hands are strong and no one on God's green earth will ever be able to pry a person from God's hand. And Jesus from the cross in Luke's gospel tells us about hands. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Thanks be to God for the divine grace grip of Jesus and the Father. My only hope in life and his death is not that our triune God is the apple of my eye. I want you to know that's man-centered and that would be my damnation. My only hope in life and in death is that I am the apple of God's eye and Jesus' eye. And thus I am eternally grasped in the grace grip of his eternal acceptance. This is the word of the Lord to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray.